Alex, over the last 15 years, the greens primarily has gone up from 11.6 to 26.4 in 2013.
That's correct, in my own seat of Batman.
Yeah, yes. And your own team has grown up. So I would like to know, what are the key issues of your constituency, Batman?
Okay, thank you. Yes, indeed, we have a very large team this time. We have the largest number of volunteers within any one branch in Australia, so we're very grateful for all those people on the ground. We're hearing from voters that key concerns are around the urgency of acting on global warming. A lot of us come from migrant backgrounds in my electorate, and people are aware not just of what's happening in Australia with the weather, but also back home in their home countries.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the flooding in parts of the subcontinent this year, the fires in Greece, a lot of different sort of examples that they think of when they think about global warming.
Yeah.
They're also concerned about their children. They want to make sure their children can have access to the best possible education. Especially people who have children with disabilities. They're worried that they're not getting the services that they should be getting in public schools where most of children with disabilities are educated.
Yeah.
They're also concerned about their elderly relatives. So people are feeling pressured at both ends of the life cycle. They're concerned about housing affordability and about general cost of living as well.
How the housing for people you plan to improve?
Yeah, that's a great question. The Greens are very concerned about the growing divide between super wealthy Australians and also multinational companies and their ordinary people. So we have decided to act on making our tax and our economic systems fairer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're proposing to phase out negative gearing, which provides tax breaks for wealthy property investors. We also want to gradually phase out capital gains tax discounts.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the discounts of 50% that people get when they sell shares and property. And we want to phase those tax discounts out by 20% per year until they reach zero in 2020. So we believe that those things will allow us to bring $120 billion back into national revenue, which will enable us to revitalise our job creation schemes. We'll be able to put a lot of money into public health and public education.
Mm-hmm.
And also we believe that if we end negative gearing entirely, including on new properties, that it'll create a more affordable housing market.
Mm-hmm.
We know that negative gearing currently adds approximately on average 14% onto house prices across Australia. In some areas, it adds a lot more. So it's having an impact on the housing market that no one would want, and we believe it's time to phase it out.
And there are issues which concern especially migrants, multicultural communities, regarding the family reunion, parent visa. How are you going to tackle that?
Yes, certainly for newly arrived migrant families, family reunion is right up there amongst their key concerns.
Yeah.
They are often trying to raise young children and they're missing their parents terribly.
Yeah.
Their children have to grow up without knowing their grandparents very well. They have a financial impost because every time they have to apply for a parent visa, they have to fork out money to do that. We, in the Greens, we're very concerned about the over-commercialisation of our migration program generally in Australia. We believe that it has stopped being primarily about people and that it is looking like a way of raising revenue for the government. Our fees and visa charges in Australia, especially for migrant communities, are actually far higher than equivalent countries. We also are concerned about the fact that the family reunion program is not functioning as well as it could, and we believe that we need to increase the intake by 10,000 people per annum. We believe that that will start dealing with the backlog of cases, and the way that the government's dealing with that at the moment is by capping and ending the queues.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe with the Greens that we need to expand the intake.
Mm-hmm.
We think that the dual system of having people who can pay, those who can afford to pay, get an unfair advantage by jumping up the waiting list. And the Greens believe that the answer is to increase the overall places to make it fairer for everyone.
And if I could ask that, what is your experience with our Indian community?
Yeah, I'm very proud to be an Indian Australian. It's something of my heritage that I identify with very strongly. Mm-hmm. I have spent many years working with the Indian community on a range of projects. Probably the one that I felt most strongly about was when I helped to coordinate research for a project which was investigating the spate of violence against international students, many of them Indian, in 2009.
Yeah.
So that year I had the opportunity to interview many young Indian students who had been attacked. And it was a really difficult experience for me personally to see that people were in those dire straits. But I felt that I came up with a number of recommendations alongside my colleagues at Victoria University to make things safer for the whole community.
So do you think that this is the time when more Indians should be in the politics? And how can we better encourage our Indians to come in active politics?
I would love to see more Indians in politics. I think when you look at Parliament, you can see that there is a group missing, an ethnic group missing in the cultural mix of our Parliament, and that is the South Asian Australians. We've had so few South Asian Australians elected to public office in Australia. Mm-hmm. We have a community which is hundreds and thousands of people strong around Australia. Yet if you look at our parliaments, whether they're state or federal, we are a missing element. Currently, we have just one federal parliamentarian, the Senator Lisa Singh for Tasmania, who is of Indian heritage.
Yeah.
We have Marine Faruqi, the Greens upper house member of New South Wales, Pakistani origin, who is also the first Muslim woman ever elected to Parliament in Australia. We have Jude Pereira, Member of Parliament for Victoria in the southeastern suburbs of Melbourne. But there are simply just not enough people of South Asian background to proportionately represent our community in Parliament. So I believe that it's up to the Indian community and the South Asian communities themselves to get actively involved in politics where they can, but many of us are. I think it's about having role models. So having people who are elected to Parliament who other young people in our communities can look up to. And I also think it's about each of the parties being open to having people from diverse backgrounds participating actively and being pre-selected to represent them in public office.
And I would just like to know, what is something which perhaps we don't know about you?
Well, I can say that I am a vegan, so I eat vegan food. So that is food that doesn't contain animal products. So that's the decision I made to look after the welfare of all living beings. And I feel good about that. So that's something that not many people might know about me.
So this is one decision you made.
Yes.
And the other decision you made, entering in politics. So though I should have asked it in the beginning, but now I'm asking, what prompted you to in politics and that too in Greens?
As a young woman, I was heavily involved in the ALP at Melbourne University. I was involved in student politics. And I helped Julia Gillard, who was then the president of the Australian Union of Students, to organise the first Commonwealth Students Conference. And that was wonderful. And actually, I brought my cultural knowledge to bear on that experience because we had delegates from Indian background from across the world, which was very exciting for me. But after just a few years, I decided to leave the ALP and I was quite disillusioned with electoral politics. And it wasn't until August 2001, when I was watching the footage of the 438 asylum seekers, the men who had come to seek Australia's national assistance. They were asylum seekers, and they were seeking our national assistance to find a safe place for themselves and their families to settle. And instead, they got caught up in a political game where the Howard government, with the backing of the Labor opposition, was threatening to arrest their rescuer if his ship entered Australian territories. Mm. At the time, there was just one parliamentary leader. That was Dr. Bob Brown, the leader of the Greens, who was standing up for the Australia that I felt I belonged to and that I believed in. And so I decided to join the Greens at that moment. Mm-hmm. So that was how I became involved in the Greens.
Yeah.
But, you know, I first became interested in politics when I was just 8 years old.
Oh.
And so that was with the election of the Whitlam Labor government.
Mm-hmm.
That government was elected in December of 1972. And one of the first things the Whitlam government did was to lift the final restrictions of the White Australia policy.
Yeah.
I could see the impact that had on my own father and mm-hmm. on my family. He felt that he had a country that now he could belong to and that he would be on an equal footing with all other Australians.
Mm.
So I could see the impact that that election had on Australia. And over the next 10 years, I started seeing the arrival of more and more Sikhs and more Indians.
Mm.
When I was 17 years old, I saw the first Sikhs in Melbourne who I wasn't directly related to or who I didn't know as family friends. And they were crossing the street in the central business district in Melbourne. The year before, my father had stopped wearing his turban after 10 years of me saying, "Dad, I can't go out with you because I'm too embarrassed because everyone stares at us."
Yeah.
And then finally the Indians started arriving and I turned to my dad and I saw these Sikh gentlemen on the other side of the road and I turned to my dad and said, "Dad, why don't you wear your turban anymore? Because it's very distinguished looking."
Yeah.
He turned to me and gave me a withering look and said, "Well, that's because of you." So I did see the difference that politics can make in people's lives. And I saw the great influx, the mass migrations of people of my own cultural heritage and background.
Mm-hmm.
And that has made me feel, much happier about being in Australia as well.
Thank you, Alex, for coming over here.
Thank you, Anita. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you.